And once again, welcome to episode 6 of series 1, the final episode in this series, but I'll be back before you know it. The podcast is now all over the world, and it's amazing to see listeners from as far away as New Zealand, Australia, Japan, and Dublin. So big thank you to everybody for all the downloads. Now, when I was growing up, one of my best friends in Dublin was a lad called Rory Pierce. And we seemed to always get into all sorts of shenanigans. And I had a message from a girl in Dublin recently. Her name is Susan Colwell. Remind me of the time we were all kicked out of the local church as Rory stood in the altar pretending to be the priest. Well, I lost touch with Rory over the years, but I have heard from his brother and his wife, Laura and Padder. And I learned that Rory has been living in Bali. Not Ballymun, that's Indonesia, I'm sure, and has been for ages. Not Indonesia, Rory has been living there for ages. Now, all the people I knew at home were, you know, the same age as myself, but in my memories, everybody is young and smiling. Funny that, isn't it? But we Irish do like to travel, don't we? And seeing as I have one listener out there in Indonesia, I'm just wondering, is it you, Rory? If it is, how's it going? You know, I think the next few months will be a really big decider on how life will look in the future. Election time is coming up in America next month, and God only knows what the results will mean for the hard-working Americans who, like most decent people in the world, only want a job to pay their bills and be left in peace. Just enjoy their lives, you know, like us all. I'll be keeping an eye on how that's going. There'll also be the usual lockdowns in Ireland and England and across the world, so you won't have a clue if we're coming or going until next year. Do we put our faith in the hands of scientists seeking a vaccine, or do we just ignore it all, and if we get it, we get it? I don't know, it's a dividing question, and I'm sure I'm not the only one thinking that way. But one day we'll all hopefully look back at these unprecedented times and shake our heads as if it was some kind of weird dream. As the old saying goes, it is what it is. Anyway, enough of that. So coming up on today's episode, my story for the day is called Plain Sailing. A chat with the producer of the Sky Story documentary on one podcast, Polonium and the piano player producer, the man himself, Mr. Robert Mulhern, as well as some more music and whatever else we can fit in. But as usual, let's start with a song.
Girl, just be on your way. I've been misleading you, spinning you round and round inside. I filled your life with promises I knew I could never keep. But remember, my heart is good. All my intentions misunderstood. Life of a dreamer is in my blood. I'll use the time to write this song. It can be with you for your whole life long. My gift to you for all of my wrongs. Now I know you helped me, girl. Got me through the good times and the bad. I know the world's a better place. People like you around. And I wish you everything. It hasn't all been wasted time. Hope you find your way. The way that I found mine. My heart is good. All my intentions misunderstood. The life of a dreamer is in my blood.
And coming up next is a chat with the man himself, award-winning journalist and series producer of Sky News podcast, Mr. Robert Mulhern. Robert, thanks so much for coming on my show today. This time I'm interviewing you. The tables have been turned.
Listen, Derek, thanks very much for inviting me on the show, and it's my pleasure.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show. Robert, whereabouts in Ireland are you from?
I'm from Naas in County Kildare, and I moved to London in 2008 for 3 months, and you know, never went back, but would still be very much attached to home. My mum and dad are still there, a lot of my closest friends are still there, and before coronavirus I was actually in and out of Ireland once a month, so I have very strong ties to Naas and Kildare, and very proud of where I come from, actually.
Good man, good man. We had to give Kildare a mention, didn't we?
We did. Well, Kildare will always be home, no matter how long I'm in London.
I know what you mean. Listen, Polonium and the Piano Player has been so successful for you, and the reaction, you know, especially from listeners in Ireland, has been amazing. You must be thrilled about that.
Ah, listen, it's great. To get the reaction we've got in recent weeks, and just for people to enjoy it, and you know, when you set off kind of making these stories, the real kind of labour of, not labour of love, because obviously it's a profession and you're getting paid, but I mean, it was, we started working Polonium and the Piano Player back in March, and then went to air in July, so there's an awful lot of work goes into making these podcast series. Sure. And so really, when you start out, you're hoping that the story is good enough, first of all, and then that you tell it well enough that people engage with it in a way that they enjoy it. So, you know, hopefully people did, and you know, it ended up being bought by RT Radio 1 in Ireland. RT bought it off Sky News and ran it out in radio in Ireland, which was fantastic fill up for the project. So we've got a kind of great life out of it. You know, it's had life as a podcast, it's had life as a live radio piece, or as an on-air radio piece rather, and you know, it's great because you want those things to happen when you put all the work in, so it's great.
Sure. Now listen, you've been the winner of some, you know, so many prestigious awards over your career to date, and again in Ireland, the reaction alone, do you think another one's on the cards for you?
Listen, Derek, very kind of you to say that. I mean, it's we got some good news actually in the last week. It's a prestigious awards competition called the AIBs, the Association of International Broadcaster Awards, annual event, and all the big hitters are there, you know, BBC, Al Jazeera internationally, and Polonium and the Piano Player has been shortlisted in the best factual podcast category. You know, so that's, you know, that's amazing. You know, we're just kind of thrilled with that. Fantastic. You know, regardless of what happens, I mean, awards are lovely, and you know, it's great when they come along, but ultimately you want people to enjoy the story. I mean, that's the best award of them. Sure. All, but I mean, yeah, it would be great if this picked up something, and you know, let's see.
Let's keep an eye out for that one. Listen, I can see you doing a kind of Donal McIntyre type TV programme, you know, the investigative journalism stuff. Would you ever be thinking that way?
Listen, if the opportunity came along and there was a story there to be done that way, then, you know, I started out as a print journalist. I only kind of ended up in radio by chance. It was kind of, it was actually during the London riots, and RT were short personnel in London, and I actually rang the news desk seeing if they wanted help, and in radio, and they said their correspondent was on holidays, so it was just kind of fortunate time that I ended up doing some of the London riot stuff for radio in 2011, really enjoyed it, and kind of slowly migrated over from print to radio. I mean, I do have a kind of passion for writing as well and production, but it's just a passion for storytelling. So, you know, if there was ever an opportunity to do anything with a story in TV, like, you know, absolutely, you know, be great.
That'd be fantastic, yeah. I look forward to that happening. You spent many hours chasing down all sorts of characters, from Russian spies to murderers. Have you any stories behind the stories that you might like to share with the listener? I don't know, like the time you might have upset a hitman, or maybe just want to keep that quiet?
I think probably the most remarkable thing, I mean, one of the striking things in your own story is some of the coincidences that between your life and life of Alexander Litvinenko. And I worked on a project, it's probably been the biggest story I've ever worked on. It's about an Irish man, Kieran Kelly, who was convicted of a couple of murders in London back in the 1980s. And to cut a long story short, we took off to try and find out, you know, how many murders, you know, did he commit, because there was the suggestion that he committed many more than the two he was convicted of. But during that investigation that actually went on for years, I searched high and low in London looking for somebody who knew Kieran Kelly or employed him. Obviously, the police had their take on him and could tell their stories about him, but there was never anyone from the public who could kind of bring us into Kieran Kelly's word from the layman's point of view. Not the police, not the prisoners or whatever. And after searching high and low and not finding anyone, a builder friend of mine, he's an older man, he was doing work on a house I was living in at the time in Crystal Palace. And we all went out to dinner one night and I was asking him something about the property, how he did a certain kind of put in a skylight actually into a property. It was a really kind of awkward pitch in the roof. And he started telling me how the person who showed him how to do that was a guy who was convicted of two murders. And suddenly kind of my ears perked up and I asked him, you know, what was the guy's name? And he said his name was Kelly. So he had actually employed Kieran Kelly. He had employed the guy that I was actually had been searching for stories on for 4 years. And
how weird is that, huh?
This guy ended up kind of working on my house and Kelly worked with him for 4 years. So
connections, yeah. That's incredible. Listen, before you started doing podcasts and whatever, you were a sports writer, is that right? In a previous life, you were a sports writer. Have you been involved in sports yourself, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, always loved sports and still do, and wrote a lot of sports when I was younger. And, you know, I boxed as an amateur for the Kilcullen Boxing Club in Kildare, and would still be in touch with the guys there. Kind of boxed with Fitzroy Lodge in London, Duke McKenzie's gym in Crystal Palace, and I was still kind of boxing kind of semi-competitively up to the age of 40 a couple of years ago. So I really kind of love boxing, you know, and
yeah,
would be a kind of big follower of boxing as well.
And it's a handy skill to have, isn't it, seeing as your job involves meeting all these shady characters and dark alleyways. Myself not included, of course, you know.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No, listen, I could never tell the Alexander Litvinenko story to people in the way you told it, Robert. So many people saying that they fell apart of it with the commentaries and especially the background effects, you know, how you brought it all to life. Even my mother called me to say she was at her wit's end, you know, so you're fighting the life out of her. You have a great talent there, Robert. Obviously, you love what you do.
Ah, listen, it's very kind of you to say that, Derek. And I mean, listen, I just think a lot of these things, it's perspiration, you know, and it's just, I suppose, the want to do it, first of all. And I was lucky enough back in 2012 to pitch an idea to RT Radio 1. They have a documentary unit there, you know, the documentary on one. It's one of the most prestigious units in the world, and it has some of the most, I suppose, highly thought of, and they're the best, I suppose. They're the best producers of audio, sure, in the world in long form. And I was lucky enough to kind of work with some of those guys, and, you know, people like Ronan Kelly, Liam O'Brien, the series producer, who actually, you know, gave me a lot of time, kind of, you know, taught me things. And it's just been kind of an incremental kind of journey, like adding kind of, sure, bits of skills on, eventually becoming a producer. But like, there's an awful lot of pain in kind of making some of these bigger projects as well. I guess that's where kind of the perspiration side comes in, and you just have to keep kind of throwing time at the projects and just really trying to tell the best story you can. And I think the key thing is finding the stories. And if you can, you know, if I'm lucky enough to find a good story like yours, then you just hope you can do it justice, really, and you know, hopefully people will enjoy it.
Sure, you've certainly done that, Robert, for sure. Listen, I know you're a very busy man. I'm not going to delay you. And you're in the studio today, I believe. But thank you, Robert, so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. Listen, you better get a bigger mantelpiece, right? Because I'm sure there's going to be more awards coming your way, at the very least.
Listen, Derek, you know, the thing I'd kind of want more than anything is probably for more listens on the podcast we made. And I guess that's why you do them. Same as yourself, you know, writing music. And
I know.
You want people to, the more people that kind of listen to the work and enjoy it, the better. And hopefully they do. And I mean, it was great, fantastic project to work with you on. And, you know, so unique and so many enjoyable days. You know, the day we went up to Backstreet Studio in Crystal Palace, and you know, you kind of sat on the piano, and I just recorded kind of music that you were playing throughout the afternoon. And you know, I suppose then you realise, as well as having this spectacular story that you have, you know what a fantastic piano player you are as well. And I guess that was one of the great things about this story, because we are kind of trying to tell story in sounds, and music is so important to these productions. And I think your story always held a promise of like some great piano music from yourself. And just hopefully, I think people enjoyed a lot of your music. So, you know, that was a great testament.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, it's just whatever it was, obviously has worked, Robert. I don't think it's over yet. I think it's going to spread wings still, you know. That's my opinion. Robert, you're a gentleman. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I appreciate it. You take care of yourself. I will see you soon, as soon as I can get down to London or whatever, and we catch up for a glass of milk and a biscuit.
Derek, thanks for having me on, and I wish you well with everything.
Robert Mulhern, ladies and gentlemen. Top man. Thanks, Robert. It was my birthday on March the 4th this year, as it seems to be every year. And I spent that week living in a steel container at the end of a pier in a place called Hythe in Southampton. Now, I was there for a reason and not by choice. I was doing a training course in life-saving, first aid and firefighting, the three things a penist will always need. Just ask Elton John. The amount of times that man has put out house fires and rescued drowning people are just too numerous to mention, and he'd probably even be embarrassed that I actually mentioned him. But I think the worst part of the training for me was having to put on a full fireman's uniform and enter a burning building with three other so-called firemen. The idea was to put out three fires in the pitch dark and drag a heavy, but not a real body, to the exit. I mean, honestly. Can anybody in their right mind think, oh, I know, I'll ask the piano player to play a request for me, and me turn around saying, certainly, sir. Just as soon as I extinguish the fire on deck 7, drag Mrs. Legless from the burning room and give first aid to her husband. I'll be back in a tick. It'd be like asking the captain of the ship getting a call from the bridge during a hurricane to say, oh, captain, the guests at the bar are now ready for you to sing My Way. You know what I mean? It's actually a requirement by law that anybody who works at sea these days must be in possession of these certificates, so they must know what they're doing. At least I hope they know what they're doing. Now, there were 20 of us taking part in these training sessions, and one girl was Italian, and she had this terrible flu. She was sweating and coughing and her nose was running. And it rained for the whole week of the course, naturally. The news was trickling in about this new thing called COVID-19. It was rife in Italy. You can just imagine how people started to worry, you know, when we were all hanging around the Italian chef. This was in the days before anybody really knew what was going on. Unlike now, when we really, really, really don't know what's going on. So after a week's training and all the home comforts of a steel container, I headed back to London to pack for my next cruise ship job. I was on the train heading to Liverpool, and I'd lost my phone signal on the way up, you know. And about an hour into the trip, I suddenly got all these messages and missed calls saying, don't take the train, don't take the train, as the gig's been cancelled. So I managed to get a call out and, you know, make sure I was hearing things correctly. But apparently all the ships have been pulled out of service until further notice. So I got a return ticket at the next stop and made my way back to London. So here I am, 9 months later, surrounded by cornfields and bleating sheep in the middle of nowhere, and with £1,000 out of pocket, not a fire in sight, and no having to save anybody from the sea. The old certificate lasts for 5 years and it's now 9 months old, and I must say it looks great on the wall as a reminder of where I was when COVID arrived. Now, I remember going back a few years, I was working on one of the major cruise lines. We were heading out of the St. Lawrence Channel in Canada into the wild North Atlantic Ocean. There was a force 11 wind and all the other ships decided the best thing to do was wait until the wind has eased. But our captain seemed to have a different idea. He had it under control. Now, the ship at the time had a songwriter's course for passengers and many well-known songwriters were on board for the month that we were sailing. Now around 8 o'clock one evening I was playing in the bar and the alarm went off. 7 short blasts of the ship's whistle. And as the bar staff continued to serve drinks, I was thinking to myself, this alarm sounds for real, you know. Now the crew are trained for different scenarios and we all have a defined role to play. And my role was standing by an elevator and directing people to their muster stations. Others would be the name checkers while others would be in touch by radio to all the heads of the departments. Everybody was a part of a chain. They were actually trained firefighters too, which is just as well because apart from the ship getting battered by the high winds, a fire had broken out in the funnel. Now back in the bar, guests were asking if they could stay at the table with their drinks until it was all over, you know. A great idea, but not the right thing to do. So I spent up at least 10 minutes telling guests they can take their drinks back to their cabins if they want to and wait there until further instructions without panicking anybody. But I was the baddie for asking them to move, you know. And then the announcement came that all passengers now had to go to the muster stations. This was a real-life situation and the whole ship was involved. Now within 20 minutes everybody had been accounted for and ready to evacuate if necessary. And to be honest, the wind was so strong it would have been a miracle if the lifeboats would have been able to be lowered. It was a tense 45 minutes and it passed quite slowly. And then we heard the ding. The captain asked for all the crew to step down and resume duties as the fire had been contained. I've never seen the crew bar so full and for so long. And if nothing else came out of it, it gave the songwriters something to write home about. And there it was, the last of the episodes and the end of series one. Well, I hope you've enjoyed them all as much as I have in making them. It really is a work in progress for me, so forgive any sound issues, etc. Now thanks so much to all the listeners around the world and to all my guests who kindly took time away from COVID-19 to be a part of this. And if you do want to get in touch, then you're more than welcome to. Just contact me through Twitter or through Facebook. And a very special mention to Nails and Tracy at On Air Coaching for their endless fonts of knowledge. And if you really feel you must purchase a song or two and you just can't help yourself, then just let me know. Check out my website, www.derekconlon.com, for my music and video links. Now I'll be back for season 2 in about a month's time, so wherever you are, whatever you're doing, be safe and happy and be healthy, and let's get to the other side of this coronavirus together. Have a great life today.